to our ordre du jour. Thomas is going to be leading the meeting today. And I want to just let you know a couple of things. You all got in, so you had the code. As far as bathrooms are concerned, I did pick this week to get my bathrooms up to code. So that's why there's all the work going on for ERP. There are bathrooms on the first floor and the second floor. Just follow the signs, okay? And I think that's enough of that, and you can just open up the meeting then. So hello, guys, on the computer.
Hi.
Oui, on va peut-être vous demander.
Thank you.
On va peut-être vous demander de vous présenter. Bonjour.
Avance de d'Aix-en-Provence. Voilà.
Donc Laurie Wilson de Lyon.
Bonjour.
Laura Reynaud de Toulouse.
Bonjour.
Laurie, I was sorry to hear that they canceled the Fête de la Lumière.
I know. Yeah, it's kind of going back to its roots though, because it used to just be one day out of the year with.
Is
people
right?
Lighting candles, and that's what they're going to go back to this year, just sort of in
honor.
Well,
I finally made my reservation for it after 30 years. I was going next year in Lyon,
yeah.
As they say.
Yeah.
Bonjour, bonsoir, entrez. Bonsoir.
Alors, quelques détails. Donc, on va essayer d'enregistrer la discussion aujourd'hui pour les membres qui ne sont pas présents. Donc ça va être assez artisanal, hein. C'est un iPhone qui se situe ici. Donc quand vous intervenez, essayez d'avoir une voix qui porte pour que la technologie prenne le relais. L'idée, il nous a semblé, au sein du CA, c'était d'une part qu'on se retrouve ensemble. Je pense que c'est bien, après ces 5 journées assez denses pour chacun de nous, de simplement nous retrouver et échanger ce qui est arrivé au sein de nos différents programmes. Pour peut-être enclencher un processus un peu plus constructif et organisé sur la gestion de crise et tout ce que ça implique autant au sein de nos programmes, de nos équipes, par rapport à nos étudiants, mais aussi nos partenaires ou universités de tutelle, etc. Et dans etc., je mets notamment les familles des étudiants. Donc l'idée aujourd'hui, c'était pas de arrêter des choses, mais plutôt de lancer la discussion. Alors l'ordre du jour, il est assez souple, hein, mais on pensait que c'était intéressant que les uns et les autres nous échangions sur comment s'est passée la gestion de crise dans ces différents moments, c'est-à-dire d'abord la crise elle-même et les minutes qui ont suivi, puis les journées qui ont fait suite, et maintenant comment les choses évoluent et face à quoi nous sommes exposés pour le programme actuel, les programmes et les semestres futurs, etc. Donc la parole est libre. Je ne sais pas qui voudrait commencer pour évoquer tout d'abord. Essayons d'être chronologiques. Vendredi soir, est-ce qu'il y a des pratiques que vous avez adoptées, observées, qui vous ont semblé plus utiles que d'autres? Ça pourrait être pas mal que chacun de nous ait un retour sur ce qu'il a pu faire. Je peux commencer pour notre programme. Dès qu'on a eu la nouvelle aux alentours de 10h30, évidemment, on a tout de suite essayé de joindre chacun des étudiants du programme. Le premier réflexe, ça a été le téléphone, donc de faire un texto collectif à l'ensemble des étudiants, avec la limite que même si on exige de nos étudiants qu'ils aient un téléphone français, en l'occurrence, 3 n'avaient toujours pas de téléphone français. C'est pourtant une exigence au sein de notre programme, alors qu'il y a un programme particulier puisqu'ils ont des stages et c'est un outil aussi de travail pour les étudiants. Ce qui s'est passé très rapidement, c'est qu'on a quand même eu des retours par texto de la majorité des étudiants. Une demi-heure après, 20 minutes, on a doublé le texto d'un email collectif à l'ensemble, ce qui a permis de compléter l'information. Et pour les derniers dont on n'avait pas de nouvelles, on a lancé un appel aux camarades en disant « Avez-vous des nouvelles de tel ou tel étudiant ?» Ce qui fait que dans la quarantaine de minutes, on avait la main sur nos étudiants, qui sont 28, hein, on n'est pas un gros programme, donc c'est aussi plus facile. Certains étudiants, on savait qu'ils étaient à l'étranger ou en week-end, en dehors de Paris, mais on a aussi eu confirmation de leur part que tout allait bien. Les derniers cas étaient des étudiants qu'on n'arrivait pas à joindre parce qu'ils dormaient, tout simplement. Et donc, on a réveillé les résidences ou les familles d'accueil qui, de toute façon, ne dormaient pas, elles, et qui ont pu nous rassurer sur le sort des étudiants. Voilà, je ne sais pas quelles ont été vos approches. Est-ce que certains parmi vous ont ce système de téléphone en pyramide? Est-ce que ça a marché?
Ça, j'aimerais bien entendre comment ça marche. Pour nous, le sexto, ça a bien marché.
Après, on a doublé avec Vendel, mais aussi, on savait que les Suisses avaient un groupe privé Facebook entre eux, et on a eu accès, nous ont laissé avoir accès. Et nous, on n'avait pas de groupe, nous, on ne communique pas par Facebook avec les étudiants. On a créé un groupe tout de suite en leur disant, pour les laisser dans l'air, et on a pu trouver tout le monde, moi, je sais, très, très vite. Je suis junior, 33 ans.
We have 135 students, I think, Kate, 135. And it took us a long time. We were up until 4-something in the morning. A lot of our students don't have phones, same thing as you, even though they're supposed to have one. So we're talking to all of our partners about what are the consequences if students don't have working phones. Because they all have phones that they use as handheld devices, right? But you can't text that, and if they're not standing next to a wireless system, you can't reach them. So we were lucky in that with our bigger group, which is UC, which is 81 students, most of them were together. So once we reached someone, they would say, I'm fine, and I'm with the following people. The other thing is not everybody signed out for the weekend, which again is a requirement on our program. So we have to figure out how to get that people much more serious about that. We had the fortunate, we had Sylvie, who's one of our big partners for USC, who was in touch with her students in Los Angeles, was working with the students. So there was a lot of two-way communication for Accent from our partners at home. A lot of parents were calling home campuses, and then the home campuses would email me or Skype me or text me so we could keep track of where everybody was. So there was really a very good team concerted effort.
We didn't get any help from anyone.
We got a lot of help from home, which was great.
Yeah.
Which was great, but it still took us a long time.
And we were telling them, well, we told them very quickly that everybody
We did the same. As soon as we had, because we work with a dozen, every semester, a dozen to 20 different universities, so from the moment we had all the students from that specific university, we sent an email to the study abroad office. So they were aware of that. But yeah, a little reacted first. We didn't have that much emails from them.
We did.
Okay.
Yeah, we did.
Even some of my students didn't get emails from their home universities à la suite. Mm-hmm. So many did. You know, an email from the university, please check in with us, even if your program has and follow your program's protocol and all the rest, and are you on STEM? And some have just never heard.
We were impressed that most of our students we spoke to already knew what was going on and had already spoken to their parents, which was great. I mean, they really are.
And they knew about what was going on thanks to parents.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would add to that, and I'm sure everybody has their story. I learned about it from New Zealand, personally, about 10 minutes after it began. And as a result of that, we have a telephone tree. It sounds like very similar to yours, Thomas. And I'm not going to go into all the details because you already have. But basically what I did was I threw it out the window and I just ended up texting all of them, emailing all of them, and making sure that they responded. And I think for my part, what I would say is you need to inculcate them from the beginning of your semester as the importance of responding in the case of an emergency. They all knew about it. They'd all heard about it, as you said, from anywhere else, you know. And so they took care of each other. We worked in tandem with the United States, with their parents, with them, and they within an hour we had everybody taken into account. Yeah.
I agree that the student needed to know about the importance. And so, but I think for the second semester I had a drill. And once I had all the telephone numbers, okay, about a month into the program I had a drill saying, this is a drill, are you okay? And that allowed me to know who had changed their telephone number, who whose telephone wasn't charged, and I could sort of remind them that they needed to do that. Yeah. And so it was actually, I was in bed, I heard this little ping coming onto my cell phone, and I thought, oh, because I'll look at it. It was a student of mine saying, Dr. Costello, I just want to let you know that I'm okay. I thought, oh, something must be going on. So I turned on the news, and then I immediately sent out a group email to everyone else, okay, this was a quarter to 11, and so by 11:30, I had located by 25 students.
That's great.
I mean, they had been, so they, what I'm adding here is I had set a drill which allowed us to see what was the weakness in the system that
the
semester.
Was not to major success. The drill showed the flows that we had in the system.
The drill was what you do that at the start of every semester?
Once Yes, once we get both
phones.
Once they get their phones.
Right. How many people actually provide cell phones to the students?
No more.
Before,
the
yeah.
But the problem is, they, as other people have said, they change their numbers. And
yeah,
right. Been
yeah, we don't know. And they have their smartphones, so they have a plan for the semester. And
yeah.
even though we tell them you should have a French phone number,
I think what we're going to do.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I like the drill idea. I think we're going to combine drill with date that they have to have it. And
mm-hmm.
If we have to have them sign something before they come, whatever. But I think we're going to get in touch with universities, not even just going to tell them that if they don't have a phone by a certain date, it's disciplinary action.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's
I don't care if they don't have a French
a
phone. They need a phone that works in France. It's
an 8-year-old requirement of the program, and it can be sent home just like anything else if they screw up.
Do Lyon X and the other cities hear well?
Yes.
Okay.
Mostly. I miss a little something every once in a while, but mostly it's very good.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
We used Facebook now I'm screaming for Laura.
That's Alex. Alex screaming again.
We used the closed Facebook group to check them in mostly. We had sent an email and posted something also on our website, but it was the Facebook group that went the fastest.
Did you use the Facebook, the new interface that they put up where you just mark your save?
Yeah. No.
You have to be friends
with
people to be able
to do
that.
We were done before that.
Yeah, that took a while to put
it. Yeah, it was, that was up and we were done.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't. We used it for the rest of our lives.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But students would need to be on Wi-Fi or have 3G
yes.
something
yeah.
to do it. So
yes.
no regular button. Huh?
Well, it's one or the other. There was email and the Facebook, but it went so quickly that we maybe texted two or three people in the end.
Okay, you found right.
Some universities asked us if we had contacted the parents. Have you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I still met up that
okay.
night once everybody was accounted.
But
yeah.
No, of course. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we all got contacted by some parents, but
no.
we agree
no.
that
no parents called Axon.
No. Okay.
No parents called us.
The home university dealt with the parents.
Yeah.
The home
university.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we invite the home university to let them know. We'd be glad to talk to any parents who want to send them. We also make it clear we don't contact.
We told them to contact
yeah,
their parents.
That was part of the
have you been
message.
In touch with your family, yes.
Yeah. Tell us you're safe and then immediately
right.
yeah, contact your parents.
But I just assume that any emails I'm writing to the students are going to be shared with the parents, so you got to keep that audience in mind when you're writing to the kids, right? So, yeah.
We also briefed them, we talked to them. By emails, got them together as we could, and we briefed them on how to talk to the parents, kind of things to say, and it's not just I'm okay, but talk about the situation, you know, what kind of sources of information they should get, you know,
11
just...
11 o'clock on Friday, we could...
No. I said
yeah.
once we got them together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you're telling, we sent a letter to all of the parents, once everybody was accounted for, told them what we're planning to do, what we've been doing, and they, I got a lot of response to that, very grateful parents, and sent them to the home universities at the same time, but I think the parents were very happy to know, I mean, there's a person over there watching them
mm-hmm.
for my kids,
yeah.
and
yeah.
I don't know if it's privacy or whatever, well, there is no problem, because the sign of release, you can contact in case of emergency.
But what would have happened had you had a student who wasn't okay?
Yeah, that's the thing.
And all the other parents knew, and then there was one parent that hadn't
well,
heard.
Well, because
from
we'd already counted for everybody.
So would you have not
you
done it had you had a
then?
Had you had had a problem?
Well, we would have had to tell the parents more individually, I guess, if the kids
yeah.
were okay. We wouldn't know. You know, it was a piece OPIA about BCC, so
mm-hmm.
they didn't know your kids are fine. Is what
mm-hmm.
we were saying. So they didn't know how many other people had been contacted.
Right.
How many people got their groups together over the weekend?
No.
We
yeah, you did. Yeah.
We were not supposed to.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
We didn't for that, and also we were right here sort of in ground zero, so I wasn't going to have kids who live
coming
across to, yeah.
No, we had a regularly scheduled event Saturday. We thought turning it into a discussion, and then we canceled because
we let the center open in case some of them would come, and two of them actually came because
they
were at the Stade de France on Friday night,
yeah,
and we felt
it.
That they They just wanted to let it out, and so it was fine. So we were at IFE, actually.
Yeah, we were there. Open.
Yeah.
You can't require people
to
be
there. And you can't require employees to be there open either.
Except if it's really close. In my case, it was 5 to 10 minutes away.
From where they live?
That's it. It was really important to be together at 6:30.
And also, just to reiterate, we've not lost any students.
Yeah.
Have we lost any staff here?
No.
I think, yeah, I think one of the reassuring things during these days was the listserv, actually. The fact that all of us informed the rest of the group that we were safe was very helpful.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
It was also just motivating.
Exactly.
Well, it was nice to know you weren't the only person sitting at your dining room table in your pajamas at 2 in the morning calling people. Yeah, there was something very reassuring about that.
So on the weekend, did you do something specific for the crisis management?
Well, we all moved into the next phase, which was answering students who wanted to know what was going to happen, making updates for the website.
Making decisions for the next
Monday. Do we get class?
Right.
Courses, are we going to cancel or not on Monday?
Yeah. Right. We stayed in touch by email, but tried to be limited in what we sent because we didn't want to inundate them with information, so we decided to send one in the morning, one in the evening, and then one on Sunday as kind of just touching base, where we didn't really have anything else to say except this is when counseling will be and we're looking forward to seeing you all tomorrow, which they appreciated that.
Setting
can you hear in the back? Can you hear us? Yeah. Okay.
And Monday morning to say have a nice day.
Yeah.
Reassure you, just to say hello. We're all together.
Yeah.
Yeah. We sent a bunch of emails and textos just to remind them that we were available, even though nobody asked anything. I think it's important to just.
Yeah.
I also reached out to kids who are not in host families. If they were alone, living alone, I reached out to them over the weekend to know.
It could be a very long weekend for them.
Sent them to all our host families and asked if they were home, if they were there with the student, if they were staying over the weekend, or if they were away. And then if they were away, we checked in. They were close together and they moved to another host family for the weekend or something. They didn't feel too isolated.
We had the added complexity of our study center was on break last week, so we had a lot of students traveling and coming back or not over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And so we ended up canceling our classes on Monday, partially for that reason.
Did you know where they were? Had they signed out? Because we found that our students didn't sign out as consistently as we thought.
Ours had not signed out.
Yeah.
None of them. And it didn't stop it from going very quickly.
Yeah.
It was in an hour and a half, where are you, and what country are you in, and what are your travel plans, and it was all pretty fast. It didn't, you know, whether they were in the 11th hour in Bismont or in Rome, it was the
same
issue.
Yeah.
It was in Ireland, it was the same.
And what about counseling? Did you try to organize something or to put some...
We organized 3 sessions of counseling, an hour and a half each, and of the 130-something students who were here, 8 signed up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ava.
2 on the first session, 6 on the second session, and we have 2 more coming next week. That's it. What did your students say about counseling, Vinay? You were telling me
before.
It
was
an
insult to their emotions.
No,
it was an insult.
We did a counseling.
What?
I think it was the same with Sharon. Did you have Sharon?
No, we had just Steve.
No. I just sent out a list saying, we had 2-hour counseling Monday morning at 10, and they all came unless they were traveling, and those who were traveling are coming tomorrow. And
there are some seats available in the front if you want to just, you know.
But it was a group thing, somebody specializing in crisis and explaining to them what the phase is and a lot of questions.
I was worried with 3-hour-and-a-half sessions that we wouldn't have enough, and I was trying to think who else we could book, and my colleague Kate was working on it all day Sunday, and we were like, God, do you think this is going to be enough? And then it was like, you know, crickets in the classroom.
I was amazed. They all showed up Monday morning.
I don't know.
The type of student.
But our students are extremely independent, and they're off at the universities, and they're very mature, and I was surprised that I think they took advantage of the resource.
That's
great.
Right. I wish ours had, because it was expensive.
Much it helped
them.
I mean, they
probably
helped the staff a lot.
Marianne, did your counseling session replace a group meeting?
Well, we did a group meeting first, and then we had the session, and it was
also it spoke to them even intellectually, explaining what happens
mm-hmm.
when you're under stress,
mm-hmm.
and that was something that they could also be. And then they had a lot of things to voice, you know, from what they'd gone through, where they were, of the things that were traumatic, and also what was going on with their friends at home, that they were already being inclusive. Why are you so sympathizing with the French when,
yeah.
you know, what about
yeah.
the people over the
yeah.
selective grief
yeah.
thing? And
yeah.
that was very hard
yeah.
for them. It's
yeah.
still hard for them.
We've all had many models, and I'm sure a lot work. I just want another one to, that we did was to have a first session on Monday where we got everybody together and brought in both a counselor and our urban sociology professor together and had the urban sociology professor explain the facts as they were known to counter Fox News and CNN. And then to go on from there to kind of do a group support group. And then had another one the next day, had another professor who's an expert on policing come in to talk about the security situation on the following day. And then now have opened up to individual counseling sessions if they want them.
Mm-hmm.
And is that well attended?
The first day, I didn't say it was required, but I said, I will see you at X
mm-hmm.
hour, and I saw them all at X
mm-hmm.
hour.
That's great.
And they appreciated it, but they also appreciated being able to break down into smaller groups.
Mm-hmm.
Were they happy to have it so soon, the discussion part about the politics and the... Were they happy to have it because we're doing it, but not till tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
But
I think there's certain
different
results.
Day, they
yes.
were okay.
I mean,
because
I knew either that or it was going to fall on me. And so I preferred that I had somebody who was saying, this is an authority on this, because
yeah.
I don't consider myself to be one. And so it felt better to have another authority there.
Yeah, and information is the key in such a context. The fact that
mm-hmm.
we can help the students get the proper information. So, of course, not using... U.S. media and especially some of them, and trying to just play a role in absorbing the information and just translating it to them, not linguistically, but also simple words or what's important to know, what you should know, how you should act, and that sort of things. Because a lot of them reacted to the frontière, fermeture des frontières.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
And so, so we had to,
Well, that was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I was pretty floored myself when they announced that.
But they
right,
they were stuck on that, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But when you
said
that about the States, it means you just can't get in and out.
Right.
And that was, we had to dispel
here.
That.
Yeah.
Right.
The parents, too. I mean, just they don't think that their kid, if it's traveling, he's traveling, can't come back in the country.
On behalf of St. John's University, our case is a bit different because we have residents, our students are also residing on our campus on the 6 hours as well. We're actually offering a group counseling session tonight. None of our students were affected directly, so we thought it was okay. It was difficult to organize it earlier in the week, so we thought it was okay. There was no need for emergency counseling. And out of 85 residents, only 5 signed up.
Mm. Really? It's interesting, isn't it?
Glad to hear that it was similar in your programs. Though we've been hearing over the past few days, a lot more students have expressed the fact that they're super anxious. quite a few students have gone back home or are planning on going back
mm-hmm.
home.
Mm-hmm.
What's preventing them right now is that they're still... Someone knows as to what, how the upgrade can be affected. I hope that we're going to address that tonight and see how your programs are faring with that. But also for us, the weekend was quite different because, again, our students, our residents on Saturday, staff was gathered on campus. We are following advice from the Office of Public Safety of our University of New York. We encourage students to stay on campus. I think that was a relief for parents.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, then I feel like it fed the fact that they stayed hunkered down on the weekend, fed sort of paranoia, anxiety. So I think we've been dealing with the consequences for the past 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. There's a balance between staying home, going out, and at the same time,
being
together.
Well, especially if you stay home and just fix the Facebook, posts or...
How many of us have had people go home already?
Already?
USA?
Yeah, go back to the United States.
One is hesitating. How many for us?
How many?
Well, about 67 of ours.
I actually prepared a sort of document, if you agree to just put the information. I think it's not important to put the name of the program, so feel free to not, if it's, you know,
like
an information.
You want to know how many out of how many, right?
Exactly. How many students do you have? How many have gone so far?
And a lot of them are still on the fence.
And for sure.
Is there a column for that?
That, well, I just feel for my program, and so I just indicated some of them who were pending. So you can do the same. And also for next semester, it could be useful to know if among the students you have enrolled for next semester, you already know if some of them will not come eventually.
I'm sorry, we arrived a little late, so I'm not sure if you actually talked about the policies that each program has instituted in terms of credits and what.
No, we haven't addressed that yet. No, but
okay. We had just started.
I was very interested
in.
To hear more about what how programs are dealing with. People going back home. And
okay, we're going to talk about that in a few minutes.
We've lost people. Qui est là?
Lori, I'm still here.
Did we lose?
No, I'm here. I've put in the information that you just asked.
Okay.
Sorry.
Amy?
Monday morning that one of our faculty members had taken upon himself to email his students Friday evening just to ask if they were okay, which I thought was, very touching and symbolic of the kind of relationship he has with his students, what have you. At the same time, I started thinking, I wonder what time he sent that email, and when did that go out? And did that go out by any chance before we started texting, calling, emailing the students? Because I wouldn't want them to get a message from a student before the administration had already contacted the students with an unofficial emergency crisis management communication. I heard subsequently that not one of our faculty members, but another professor who works for several other of our programs had done the same thing. So I was just wondering if anybody else had heard about that and how.
Well,
you thought about
to
that.
Avoid that, I contacted the faculty and the students at the same time.
Right away?
Right away.
I did. Our first priority Friday night was to contact the students, and Saturday morning I sent an email to faculty, which I shouldn't have done. So that, for me, is lesson learned.
And I missed the beginning. What did you do that you regret?
I didn't contact faculty Saturday morning to let them know that students were fine, that everybody was accounted for, and that, we had reached everyone very quickly. And it turned out faculty member had taken upon himself, as soon as he heard about the events, to start emailing the students.
Yeah, that's
big. That's contacting you. Without contacting.
Although on the flip side of that, we had a faculty member who wrote an email. When did she write that email, Shelby? Christina. On Sunday, without talking to anybody, and she wrote the most beautiful, poetic, amazing email that the students, changed their lives, and they posted it on Facebook, and they can't. So, on a flip side of that.
Right. But on Sunday.
Right,
on
Sunday. But she didn't clear with anybody, and I was like, ooh.
Yeah, that's a little.
That's the luck of the draw.
Yeah, it is.
We had a lot of students contacting faculty to see if they were okay.
Yeah.
Which was interesting.
That's
nice.
That is
nice.
Yeah.
We had former students from years ago.
Yeah, me too.
So aren't you happy to be in touch with all those people?
Yeah.
It's like New Year's.
You guys contacted faculty Friday night.
Friday night at 9:30.
Okay.
I said there's something that's happened, and then I contacted all the students, all the staff, and all the faculty, so then the faculty and the staff would know what I was telling the students.
Great.
When you say faculty, it's here in Paris.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
Not the university.
No.
Okay. Okay.
No.
Or
a couple of in-house classes. So
okay.
I found to be very useful throughout the weekend was the listserv and how people were talking about whether they're canceling the program or not.
Yeah.
Because we started to get these questions from the home office. Are the programs canceling? What's the word out there? People going on excursions.
That was very helpful.
And the fact that people were actually sharing that was super helpful.
Yeah, I agree.
Between that and the OSAC updates, which were impressive also. It was actually quite impressive how much we were getting from OSAC. That was amazing.
Well,
oh, no, Amy doesn't think.
Oh, no,
I was just disappointed. There's nothing coming out of the embassy, though.
Yeah,
no,
it's all awful.
OSAC, Europe.
The embassy
there's
is like 2 days
no
behind
embassy.
Us.
There's still no interference.
No.
Hey, they had to,
I had something.
John Kerry visit. That was
Good for you. No, I did. I had something from the embassy and then something from the State Department.
You did?
Yeah.
I didn't.
You got nothing from the embassy.
Paris Council.
Well, you got the smart program.
The smart program.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
to you personally.
No, but it came out from the U.S. embassy. Yeah,
yeah.
To me personally. Yeah.
It was the next morning.
It was to you personally?
Yeah.
It was not the warning. It was
the
step.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
That's good.
It wasn't
fancy. But how do you go about getting
your
fancy? I mean,
well, let me check it. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, but you're right, Amy. There's not any embassy support.
And that's just
what's the application you're talking about?
Well, there's a step that all the students are
smart
traveler.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And you register yourself also.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've registered myself. I've never gotten an email from the embassy.
You have to be a U.S. citizen to do it.
Yeah.
Well,
if you're not,
you
can't do it.
Oh, yeah.
But the students get
it.
But you got that, Amy.
Yeah.
Did you get the step?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe that's what I'm thinking. I don't know.
Not until when?
Once
again,
it's exactly what you have on the website for the U.S. and also in France.
Right.
Do you know where we are on
Duke? That's what I was just looking at.
Did you have to handle some, you know, departure during the weekend? So were you contacted by students who were leaving right away from the program or the country? And so how did you do that? Because we had a case of a student, he was in Dublin, actually. And so thinking that because of the fermeture des frontières, he couldn't get back to Paris, and freaking out because his residence was on Rue de Charonne, his parents just made him go back to New York. He was quite resilient, so he understood the situation, so he would have stayed. But the parents said, no, you're coming back. So, and at that time, we weren't sure about how to address that. So we figured ways of, you know, finishing the semester because he had left already. But then, you know, on Monday and Tuesday, we thought that we wouldn't agree with that anymore if other students announced they were leaving.
And on the financial aspect?
For the financial aspect, we didn't think about that because the semester is, well, I don't know. It wasn't.
They're way past the zero reimbursement.
Exactly. Cancellation dates
of that
ship has sailed.
I don't think.
What are these personal effects in that case?
Well, that was one of the questions. So should he not come back? But he will, actually. He told us he'll be back this weekend.
We had a student whose mom got her plane ticket, booked her on the plane the next morning, and she didn't want to go. Her sister left another program and went home, but she convinced her mom that she wanted to stay, and she stayed. But her mom wanted to go home for 2 weeks. It was the idea, just let's see how this goes.
Okay.
Come home.
Same thing.
Come
home for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
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 But she's not going. She's not going.
Okay. So yeah, maybe we can address the question of credits and how to handle.
Well, I think some of it depends right on what the home university's policy is, right? The same university. In our case, we had absolutely no university even getting in touch with us, raising the question of, you know, we want our students to come home or require them to come home. And so if it's just a student and the parents' decision, well, you know, we're willing to make some accommodation, but there's some credit that will not be able to be fulfilled. It's not a question.
So how do you address that? I mean,
well,
there's some work that's been done, so
right.
Partial credit.
Well, yeah, but obviously, gotten to that point, that that's not part of the home university. The ideal thing would be to negotiate some kind of withdrawal.
Are these for in-house courses at partner institutions?
In-house, yeah.
These are our courses.
In-house,
yeah.
These are
very
work, but I mean,
we've
like, I don't know, 80 different professors.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that we can figure that one out.
So what's your position then? You just say that it's not possible
to...
No,
I mean, I think it depends when they leave. It depends what the home university is willing to do. You know, if we can validate what the professors, I reached out to all of the professors and said some of the students weren't coming this week, had missed even exams, that we told them, do what you feel comfortable doing. You don't have to go. Paris 8 was closed one day, so... And we're starting to get responses that they are just saying overwhelmingly, we'll help you totally to help your students that he did. But not mentioning that they would go home because none are going home.
Yes. Could we also address how many students have asked for credit or as they want to leave? Or if you have parents calling you or you have the parents. parents calling home institutions. I just want to know.
Yeah, in the case, well, I have two examples actually from our program. Well, we had two cases, and the first question they had was about credit. So it was the main concern if they were leaving, if they would get the credit.
That's the deciding factor
and
for our people.
Another example who goes along with that is that we've heard of a program in Brussels who announced that the students could leave and they will accommodate with the credits, and they suddenly had dozens of students wanting to leave.
It's
so,
an English language program.
Yeah, but anyway.
A very
yeah, yeah.
non-inverse program.
This is what's happened with ours. Programs of CM in California with 110 students, and the university told them we're going to give them credits. So, six students out of seven left.
Wow.
The university said, okay, you can go home, we're going to give you credit.
Why not go home?
Boston University, for example, was very, very clear. If we don't suspend the program, there's no refund.
Right.
And there's no change in credit. I mean, our program is finished with the classes, so they get those credits. But if they're in the internship now, if they go home, they get a W. No reimbursement, no. But if they said if classes were going on and they still returned home, still they would not work with them for credit reasons, because then the students who did stay behind somewhat.
Sure. So
it's not, yes, not fair. It's not fair to the ones remain behind. I mean, imagine you're on at home campus and you. A month before the end of the semester, well, you guys can all go home and you'll still get credit. I mean, you obviously.
Okay, but what if the student is extremely traumatized?
Yeah,
so
we have
a student
whose
father was dying. She went home last year and worked with Hopkins.
I have a case like that,
and she got special treatment.
Yeah. You can make
a
class on campus. You can overload another
student.
Everybody take a turn. Sylvie?
The USC has a policy for emergencies in case of emergency. So I've had a student who went back home. They have to complete a certain amount of weeks and coursework, so midterm, first paper, and so on. So this could be considered an emergency if some students want or feel like going back home, I think. But there are certain dates. And I think it's around Thanksgiving. No, they won't. No, they have incomplete. They have one semester to complete. So they can be in touch with the professor. We send exams.
Shelby, you want to talk about UC and what UC is doing?
What UC has done is any student can go home. We would never keep them under duress. They will complete their remaining coursework at home, not in a classroom, and the final exam will be done on campus in January with a proctor. It's the only class that doesn't work for is French language, because of course they're missing the opportunity to do the oral part, and so we are giving them partial. The classes are worth 6 units, and we're giving them 4.5.
Are you paying your professors more to help them
back home?
For the professors who are following their classes here,
to help them do what?
To continue on with their class, no?
They finish the remaining assignments based on what they've already learned, and then the final exam will be written in accordance to that, and be run on. It'll be a different final exam, obviously, for the students who sit it. Well, the ones who remain.
So those who leave get partial credit and will do a separate exam as conceived by the professor.
No, all the students will get full credit if they finish their remaining work when they're home. If they don't do it, then they don't get any credit.
Okay.
So
but
for the French language class, we're not going to give them full amount of credits.
Okay.
But you're waiving the presential, I mean, there's no place to sit, but they don't have to. The fact that they won't have the contact hours, you're just waiving that.
Right.
Yeah.
We only have 4 more weeks in the term.
In a case similar to what was just said a moment ago, of course we're lucky to have mostly in-house courses, so we have management of those or control over them. We do have what we call a compassionate withdrawal policy that we use for exceptional cases. This is a bit strange because it applies to a larger number of students, but we've offered it to the students. It gives them a chance to complete all of their work and send it back to their faculty for being graded. For grades. When it's the case of a test, sometimes we're replacing those with just written assignments so they don't have to proctor, you know, another test in the final exam.
What is the criteria apart from something like terrorist attack, if someone comes, an individual student comes and requests a compassionate withdrawal, as it's called, what are the criteria for judging whether you grant that or not?
In this case, or generally speaking?
In general.
In
this case, or generally speaking?
No, I'm not talking about attack. An individual student comes to you because they've got a bereavement or whatever it is, and then is it if they ask, they get it, or do you have criteria?
No, well, they have to provide. No, it's quite subjective, I'd say. They have to document it. There has to be a doctor's note or some sort of
death certificate.
Right. Because we also have a temporary leave of absence where they can go for a week for a funeral.
Mm-hmm.
But if the situation is extenuating and they can document that, I mean, we're not.
So, what does it mean actually in terms of reporting on transfers and whatnot? Does it say compassionate withdrawal? What is it?
So,
what does it do for the student?
The structure of the. No, it's a great question. The protocol is called compassionate withdrawal, which is a bit of a misnomer. It gives the students the opportunity to complete their credits if they so choose, and they have the option within that withdrawal to pick and choose which classes they do. Which in some case, this case, our students are all petitioning for credits, they want their credits. You can imagine someone who's had some sort of traumatic experience, they only need that marketing course or the French course or whatever,
mm-hmm.
they're going to pick it and then say the rest of it, just withdraw me, and they get a W on the transcript.
They get a W for the ones that they withdraw, and the other ones they complete the whatever modified requirements are to get credit in whatever time you have set up.
And there's a contract. They fill it out. We sign it. And once it's in, however, it's fixed. They can't go back and say, "Oh, I've changed my mind." They're stuck to it.
I wonder though that in a situation of stress like this one, having a choice adds, on the stress.
Our students have been very adamant about how do I finish? How do I get my credits? How da da da. No, we haven't had that.
Okay. Céline?
For Sunni students, I have one out of 11 that she's really scared, she's really panicking. She wants to go home, but the issue is the money. Will she get married from that? Because she has two loans, she worked a lot. So she needs also to have the 12 credits so that she can have her financial aid to continue. So it's really an issue, and she was saying in her message that she was ready to stay in Paris, even though she's really scared, because of the money situation, if she has not 12 credits, if she comes back. And so the money comes first, the credits come first before the fear, and she is really afraid. So,
well, it's up to her university to recognize her trauma.
It's
that's when the financial aid can be either sanctified or rejected.
May I
just say something?
Yep.
I work with a big group, right? And pretty big. And what we're trying to do right now is kind of create what can I call a seismic map of what happened in Paris on the 13th, because I have my students who were directly experienced it in the 10th and 11th, others who were outside in the suburbs, for example, and others who were abroad at the time, right? I find that those who are abroad actually have a greater level of fear than those who
right?
are actually here in France. And this is something I'm trying to negotiate with my office, is that, because what they wanted to do was something logical. If you lived through it, we can give you withdrawals, partial credits, we'll do everything we possibly can for you. But if you were abroad at the time, well, it doesn't make any sense, does it? But maybe it does. But then on top of it, we have to be careful about this as well, because if you do work with a larger group, I know other CIE centers where they want to leave Seville, for example.
Yeah, we've had that too.
Get full credit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're upset.
Right.
And so what we're trying to do is negotiate somewhere between what would be a fear factor, right, or a risk factor, right? Was a student really at risk? And this is very difficult.
That's on our list of things to talk about tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there is a almost reverse correlation between risk and fear if you consider the situation. I don't know you, but we have a lot of fear from the US and not that much here in Paris, for instance.
No, the distance thing, it applies to parents as well, even further up.
Absolutely. Because I had three students who were in Greece who wanted to go home immediately because their parents told them to, and so they had to fly to Istanbul.
That's
beautiful.
At least it wasn't Damascus.
I think there were flights from Damascus.
Students in university classes, I mean, I don't see how I could negotiate, I mean, fix it all and have them do everything in absentia for all these different classes.
Right.
I mean, we have one staff member who's not really able
no,
to
but
help
you could
me
still
right now,
have solutions here on site. I mean, you can imagine having classes at your center, or you know, that I
you
think
mean the student wants
no.
to leave.
No, but if they leave, I'm saying if they leave,
if they leave. Yeah.
No, but
if
they
leave,
if
it's 75 different courses.
Of course. Yeah, handling the parents is one of the bullet points we have. Yeah.
That's the moment you guys can help me respond to three questions that were said to me. And they actually brought up by exactly one family where the mother wanted the daughter to leave, but she doesn't. So now she is, has been writing over and over asking me to give her exactly a promise that next time anything happens, we will close up the program.
You have the same
okay?
case.
And then the Saint-Denis happened. After Saint-Denis, she said, that's it, close the program. I said,
no, but Saint-Denis
was not a terrorist attack. No.
So the first question that was said to me from the U.S. was, is anybody closing? I guess no. Right.
Is anybody closing?
Is
anybody closing?
No.
Elementary schools
are
open.
But as of right now,
elementary schools are open.
All right.
Now, the second question. The second question is, what are the criteria and what is the trigger point that would push you to close?
What is the
travel ban or the
or side
was saying
the
trip-wise?
Yeah.
The
State Department
right.
issuing a travel.
Close the program, right?
We,
yeah.
We almost closed over the false alarms. And just a moment of levity, on what was it, Tuesday, I forget what day it was, I sent a message out to the Conseil d'administration saying, look, we're hearing rumors that some of the programs are closing, our students are getting these rumors, I need facts. And is anybody closing? And I get this message back from one of the two people sitting in front of us saying, the only rumor I've heard is that Trinity, my program, is closing. So I get to have a good guffaw.
Yeah, we hear that rumor.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we have a Trinity student with us, so we meet again to Trinity.
Right.
Yeah.
So the only thing I'm saying is that in that then one of those evenings, whatever evening it was when the false alarms, I guess it was Sunday, were occurring.
Right,
one of the students
yes.
had written home to mom that she heard gunfire in the street and there were police all over the place and there was screaming and all that, and it was related to the République incident and another one related to the Notre Dame incident. I assuaged that, let her know about the false alarms. The next thing I know, 2 hours later, this message is coming across my desk, and it's bedtime, saying, well, if they're shooting them up in the streets, we've got to close the program. And, you know, it was absurd. It was absolutely absurd. So at any rate, I think if there is another major incident, we're done.
But
we would have a question, right?
I think if there is another attack, we will have legitimate, you know, sources to shut our programs down, such as, well, French government. We don't need to hear from the U.S., you know, administration. I'm pretty sure that the measures here will be quite severe.
No, but we will if the government issues.
Well, you know, and couvre-feu or état de siège or anything,
it will be the US
letting
government
us understanding that security is not.
But what, I mean, the question of, okay, if another incident happens,
then,
I mean, but what was the source? Who were the people that were the source of the rumors the first time around programs are closing?
I heard that Johns Hopkins was sending others.
Yeah. Where did those come from?
The kids.
Those same sources.
Some of the students.
It was from other students
and parents.
The Hopkins situation was the students that I was told from them.
students, that their Sciences Po students,
yeah,
were offered the option to go home
and they
and
did
be able to get their credits.
Mm-hmm.
And because
yeah,
one of our students from Hopkins came in and said, "Oh, did you hear the
right,
closing
yeah,
down the Hopkins
yeah,
Sciences Po whatever?"
Yeah, those kids
I
are with us, and they both
Hopkins
left.
And
yeah,
they
yeah,
said,
well, the,
we had
yeah,
a right. Yeah.
The,
yeah,
the Trinity, well, the Trinity student showed us the email they
yeah,
got from Trinity, Connecticut.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was very reassuring.
Yeah, it was very reassuring. It was right in line with our policy, too. It's like we've assessed the risk. The risk is tolerable and staying open, and that's it.
You didn't get that email, huh, Francis?
I got it.
But I was on the phone last night with a parent, and he was being pretty cool, he was a little concerned. He said, "Well, I've heard that University of Virginia and Vanderbilt University are closing their programs."
Yeah, it's just
awesome.
But I mean, University of Virginia is Lyon, as far as I know. There's nothing UVA in, right?
Yeah.
In Paris. And I went on the website this right away of UVA, and the message from the president of the university, and she's saying, it's a lovely speech, tying things going on here with the bigotry and the risk and the violence in their own country,
mm-hmm,
and again standing by, you know, we stay in and so I don't know where these, it was a great message.
Can I say something?
Sure.
I'm not a program. But I am a housing coordinator for several programs. And I see a little bit what's going on in the different programs, how communication is how things are being communicated from the U.S. to parents in the U.S., from the U.S. to parents, from the U.S. to students that are coming, and from here in France. And I think APUAF actually has a huge role to play. And one of the reasons why I wanted to talk here tonight is I think it's worthwhile that we as APUAF think about one common
sure,
communication.
That's part of the reason
okay,
why we're here
and
today.
I'm sorry,
of
I
course,
didn't
yeah,
have
yeah,
our
yeah.
Date,
yeah.
But
no,
sure,
we thought that, and we agreed.
Oh, really?
We were
up in the sofa.
No. So
that would be actually
I see
the yeah.
I mean, there's programs
of
that
course,
do things differently. I actually think that a lot of these smaller campuses in the U.S. are very lonely in situations like this, and I think that we here on the ground have much more leverage.
No, and it will and it will strengthen our position.
Yes,
having
yes,
APUAF backing us
yeah,
up. So yeah, for sure. That's one of yeah. Of,
one of the things we
want
to talk
we
about.
We want to establish
tonight,
it today, but we would like your feedback so that
sure,
the CA could
sure,
build something up. And
yeah, we got an email from.
And that brings me to my last.
Oh,
question.
Sorry.
You'll get there, Joseph.
Because after this meeting, I need to respond to that. And he said, is there a decision tree of criteria that would help us make that decision? So as a PF, I would like you to help me respond report to her.
But the country is being attacked every 5 to 10 years.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure, and of course, that last attack can't be compared with anything that happened before, okay, but I'm pretty sure here we have people. Did we have people who were in function in 95, for example?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
On the train.
85.
86.
Taxi blow out with the in the 80s.
Me too.
In January. Okay, sure. Who closed? Which
no,
program
no one.
Closed?
Yeah,
right
I know. And even with
and
Charlie Hebdo, I mean.
Yeah.
With Charlie Hebdo.
You didn't have 24/7 news. You
no,
didn't
internet,
have the need
right,
to
right,
have breaking news every
exactly,
35
you
minutes.
The WhatsApp.
You didn't have,
WhatsApp,
yeah.
Right.
So we went through all that. I mean,
yeah,
why are we
no,
even
of course
thinking about
know,
closes?
But that doesn't mean we'll close that they have their breaking news because we don't know. For
yeah,
now, no one is closing.
Yeah. No, but they have the parents.
Yeah.
Are
so
a huge factor.
As
right,
I said
well,
earlier, I mean, it's going to be the French government who will decide.
They won't decide for us.
But they won't decide for us. The State Department would. Yeah.
No, but if because of a second violent attack in the next few days, the government just shuts schools and universities,
right,
I mean,
of
it
right,
will be a strong
right,
sign that we should do the same.
Right.
So.
Or on the U.S. side, that the State Department
sure,
issues.
Yeah, but then answering the question, what conditions would decide if we close, it's the condition that we can't control.
Right.
Right.
So either the French government or the State Department in the U.S.
That's something that's a decision that
yeah,
comes from our
province. If they shut schools down, would we be able to get our students on planes?
Well, yeah, that's the other thing.
I think that we're also thinking a lot about closing because it's the end of the semester. And so it's feasible and it's sort of, oh, we've had our experience, we've been here for 3 months, now maybe we'll leave 2 weeks early or 3 weeks early. Some programs, some of our programs are some of our students have 1 week of class left in some university programs. Our students on site have 3 weeks left. It's not, Thanksgiving is next week. It's there's a pull.
It's a psychological,
yeah. I was thinking, I was wondering, how different would this be and how differently would we be reacting and would our students be reacting if this happened at the beginning of the semester?
Right.
If this happened halfway through September?
In February?
Did you want people leaving because they were less integrated?
Yeah.
I mean, we've noticed, in comparing notes even among our own students, the more that a student has really done a full integrated, immersive approach to their life here, the more determined they are staying, the less they're thinking, what?
The language. Yeah.
So if they happen to be
a
semester,
it doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, we didn't find anybody. Our students arrived on the 7th of January, and none of them wanted to come back after Shelby.
This is different, though.
Different.
Charlie Hebdo was visa, a specific thing.
They're not after you.
Right,
you
and
know?
American kids are used
when
to people going into offices and shooting everybody. This is,
but
they are. This is different.
Well, there was the cashier.
Oui, c'est vrai. C'est vrai. Right.
So, John, can you just say what happened with Johns Hopkins?
We had two students on the Johns Hopkins program with us who were enrolled at Sciences Po. And they talked to Sion's Post. Sion's Post said they could go home and complete their work at home, and they both left on Monday. Then they didn't even talk to us. They just left. I mean, they sent us an email like, I'm leaving at 1 o'clock today. I told my host family.
Did they speak French?
You know
what
I
heard was the factor.
I don't know. I don't know. I can't speak to that.
Kate,
do you know if they're in the French program?
Yeah.
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 And do you know whether that was a policy on Sciences Po's side, or was it some kind of an agreement that the students?
Shelby, do you want to speak to that because you had spoken to
Matthew. It's not on their side, but that isn't surprising. I checked in with Matthew because I had students write me saying, "Well, Johns Hopkins is going to Sciences Po's giving them full credit," and I said, "Well, let me check."
Yeah.
Accuracy.
Because you have 40-something students there?
I have 46 students there.
Right.
They have said to all exchange partners that students may withdraw, but they will not get credit unless they finish the work. So the process is they write to Matthew Thomas, the head of the exchange program. They simply say, I am withdrawing on this date, and then it sets into motion. Matthew liaises, and they get the students scheduled. They liaise with the professors. They find out what work is pending. They write back to the student saying, they don't do a contractual thing, but they just write back saying, this is pending.
We can't wait
to get this in by.
So it's written work, basically.
It's written,
yeah.
And so contact hours and any oral presentations, any whatever work, all that is.
Yeah, they're gifting.
Okay.
Yeah, because my question was, a lot of their work is expose related. How do they do that?
Do you think that would depend on the performance already of that student? I mean, like if gifting a certain amount, you know, to students who've already proved themselves to be serious and who've already got good grades and stuff, but would that be student dependent, do you know? Or would
it's not.
I mean, if a student hadn't turned up and half the class hadn't done good work.
Well, they would have already failed because they only get 2 absences and then they're automatically failed.
Right.
What about next semester? Have you heard?
Oui.
La feuille,
je
suis
arrivée en retard, excusez-moi. Mais moi, ma question pour les étudiants du second semestre, c'est, de notre côté, on n'a pas eu d'annulation jusqu'à présent. On va voir. Mais quels sont les conseils que nous pouvons donner à des jeunes de 20 ans, n'est-ce pas, qui, bien logiquement, veulent sortir, veulent aller à Paris, veulent aller dans les bars comme ils le font, etc. Quels conseils peut-on leur donner?
Une fois la guerre a eu, avant la guerre.
But can we talk about what we're telling our students now that the state of emergency has been extended for the next 3 months? What are we telling our students now?
Have we explained to them what the state of emergency means?
Because
that would be useful.
The students who are coming, you know, how they're supposed to be able to behave and live their lives in Paris. The same question that we're asking ourselves with regards to students, we're still here.
Right.
Are they not supposed to go out in the evening? Are they not supposed to go to the cinema? Are they not supposed to go to Congress?
That's
the next
three
activities
this
week.
That's not what
this week,
the state of emergency is about.
But
it's not a public safety decree. It's
no.
Police
exactly.
Work.
Exactly. But
right.
How do you explain that to 20-year-old students who are immediately going to go, what's the state of emergency for the next 3 months?
Well, I know you explain
it.
We put up one of
like
first
York.
Communiques on our website with a description of what a state of emergency is.
Right.
Yeah.
And what it can be.
Well,
is it in English on your website so parents can read it?
It is in English, yes.
Is it in English on your website so parents can read it?
Been in English.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've put
because I think
put
that's
up,
important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you face the students as adults. You tell them.
Yeah.
You're adults, so you have to make your own choices and take your own responsibilities. So we just went over the basic, you know, don't go to gatherings, don't go maybe to department stores, but we don't feel like they shouldn't go out, and actually,
no.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
but that's not what the U.S. Embassy says either.
Either,
no.
Yeah,
no.
Sure,
no.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
No, that's not what the state of emergency, they can, if they want, close private establishments like cinemas, but they're not automatically closed.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is automatic is no large assembly,
large
public
assembly.
Assembly.
Right.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And the rest is all police work. You know, we can arrest you and we can do all this stuff.
What we did also, and I think it's being very useful for students, their parents, and the universities, is that we recorded with their agreements two students who were at the Stade de France last Friday. So we have a short video, a one-shot video, and they just explain what happened, just to bring facts and de-dramatize about the situation and what went on since last Friday. And actually, they're very resilient.
Mm-hmm.
And we asked, are you considering going back? And so they explained why they won't. But they discussed that with their parents, et cetera, et cetera. And I think it's quite powerful because...
It's on our website.
Yeah.
Sorry, just somebody else.
No, go ahead.
I think also, just logically, I there was an article I found on the BBC website that I said to Melissa about what to do in the event of an attack. And I think rather than, I'm not sure we haven't discussed yet as far as orientations, you know, in the spring semester and stuff, but I'm imagining, Melissa, that we're probably going to, and probably all of you, there's going to be some form of addressing this without necessarily bringing up the actual events and sort of frightening people. But think there were simple things in there, like, you know, when we talk about fire, we talk about locating new safety exits, and we talk about general safety, but I can imagine we're going to sort of pad out a bit more with slightly more specific things, like, you know, when you're in a restaurant, when you're in a concert hall, all that sort of thing, locate the safety exits first, because, you know, I'm sure we've all read that saved a lot of people. And there's just things like that you don't necessarily think to specify when, because you're trying to keep orientation, you know, as to the point as possible. But I think maybe we're going to have to elaborate slightly on our safety
mm-hmm.
presentations and put in a little bit more
yeah.
obvious detail like that. Because, you know, how many of us, when we go to a restaurant, look for the safety exits? I know I don't. Okay, well,
always.
Well, now we all do it.
I always do.
But, you know, I just sort of, because I just assume it's like, you know. So I think, I imagine, you know, Melissa and I haven't had the chance to talk about this yet, but I imagine that this is going to be something that we're going to be doing and that all of you will be doing. And I think that's going to be one way of, you were saying there about sort of talking to 20-year-olds. Yes, they're adults, and yes, we have to respect that, but I think, you know, doesn't matter how old you are, people are going to need reminding age
20,
age 50, age 80 of certain
yeah.
things. Well, what about being able to share things? Like we talked about the toolbox and we were talking about the security. We had one meeting, we didn't really move ahead with a lot of things, but that was one idea of a toolbox to share things like that instead of all of us trying to put together
mm-hmm.
you know, a little tutorial on that or if there are any resources we could
sure.
Share.
Yeah, the idea is to gather the information here, and I think we need to have other workshops or maybe someone, that was your friend, say, to have a long conference, a voices conference format
right.
for that.
Yeah,
in the long term. Yeah, in the long term. But yeah, for next semester, for January, we'll try to gather
like
information.
State of emergency in English, did you translate that yourself?
I wrote it. I just wrote it.
Right.
Yeah.
Can we cut and paste that?
Sure, go ahead. We didn't call it a survival kit. We called it a safety and well-being kit. We weren't talking about survival. And it was just a product.
Yeah, survival is not the right.
Students were resynthesized, maybe between risk and fear and talking with the parents and the situation here and, some common sense about safety and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. It's all up in this.
It's very important that we and trigger next semester by informing right away future students and their families, because if we wait for parents to get alerted,
we need to be proactive.
It has to be now. No, it has to be. Yes.
Yeah. Sylvie.
Yeah, it's a good question, because for the spring semester students, when they arrive on January 20th, after Charlie was different. But I had sent a message to the future students, and they reacted very well. Nobody canceled. Now it's from now on. Hopefully nothing else happened, and the next group of students should be sent.
I think we should do that right away.
A lot about cancellations now doesn't mean anything.
I think it's early.
The problem with cancellation is if students are saying, am I going to get on campus France and pay 180 if I'm not yet sure? And then they have to be with us at on the 12th of January. The New York consulate, just 4 months left, there's a huge problem this year with appointments. So they don't get going now.
Well, we have asked our home universities to get in touch with students coming in the spring, and they have contacted them both individually and offered group meetings, depending on their university. Mm-hmm. And we've also sent out a communique from the JYA offices, not just from us, saying these are the procedures that were followed, and this is that all our students are safe, and so we know that the programs are able to deal with these kind of situations. And so please come and speak to us if you have any questions. So I think being proactive in terms of contacting their future students right now before they start withdrawing or thinking about withdrawing without having contacted our offices. I think this is one place where our home institution's offices can actually help us.
I agree, but I think they also need to hear from here. Claire?
What they said has to be informed.
It has to be something that you work with your office. Sorry.
Moi, je dois dire que l'INSEE, on s'est concerté, a écrit non seulement aux étudiants, parce qu'on est dans le processus du visa à l'heure actuelle, mais aux parents des étudiants qui vont venir.
Right, it's
the
exactly. We don't contact the parents.
Right. You're already, and they say, you contact my parents, you do, but I said after Charlie Hebdo and the incoming students were not there, I wrote a letter to the students and said, please share this with your parents.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mais c'est au niveau aussi de l'information. Je trouve que c'est normal que c'est informé.
Mais au lieu de contacter directement les parents, il faut utiliser l'étudiant comme vecteur.
Et comme elle dit rien, on écrit dans la lettre.
Je crois qu'il y a un aspect légal, mais il y a aussi un aspect éducatif, c'est-à-dire que si on montre trop aux parents qu'on est à leur disposition, ils vont parasiter la relation qu'on peut avoir avec nos étudiants.
Moi, je ne sais pas. Moi, j'ai écrit à tous les parents. J'ai eu très peu de demandes. J'ai eu des email très gentil de retour, mais j'ai eu à parler samedi avec un parent qui avait des questions.
C'était aussi pour éviter, parce que les parents aussi non téléphonent constamment, les parents des
étudiants. Has everyone filled out the paper?
Mais je crois.
Mais
je crois que par contre, les universités aux États-Unis ont dû beaucoup gérer les parents plus que nous.
Heureusement.
Oui, et c'est là où je pense que beaucoup d'entre eux sont relativement seuls, parce que c'est souvent quand même
pas trop grande structure, des personnes qui sont loin, qui gèrent plusieurs programmes dans plusieurs pays. Et moi, j'ai vu passer un rapport d'une enquête faite par une assurance qui a été envoyée à des parents en disant, en mettant un grand triangle sur le 18e, en disant le 7e c'est le plus endroit le plus safe au monde.
Safe set.
Oui. Donc,
Avec 41 étudiants et mes enfants. Donc, les étudiants étaient au courant avant moi, bien sûr, de ce qui se passait, parce qu'ils recevaient des emails et des textos, etc. Donc, on a eu la malchance d'être en face de la première déflagration, après de la seconde déflagration qui était sur la gauche, sur la droite, la troisième, justement. Donc, j'ai pris la décision de quitter le stade avec tous mes étudiants. Je leur ai dit quelques instants avant la fin du match que personne ne bouge. Et quand il y a eu la petite prolongation de quelques minutes, j'ai dit tout le monde se lève et tout le monde reste ensemble et on s'en va tout de suite. On s'en voit tout de suite, on n'était pas les seuls, bien sûr. On se trouvait à la porte R qui se trouve à nord-ouest du Stade de France. On devait aller au sud pour prendre le RER. Donc, moi j'étais devant avec mes deux enfants de 9 ans et de 12 ans, et en continuant, on marchait, on avait un pas assez rapide, bien sûr, mais on était, il y avait des centaines, des milliers de personnes qui allaient dans le même sens. À un moment donné, bien sûr, quelqu'un a dit il y a une bombe. Effectivement, il y avait une bombe qui était en train d'être désamorcée par les forces de l'ordre, qui se trouvait juste à 150 mètres de l'entrée du RER. Il y a eu toute la foule qui était devant, s'est mise à courir. Dans l'autre sens. Et je ne vous dis pas le vent de panique qu'il y a eu. J'avais l'impression d'être, à Vincennes avec les chevaux qui galopent autour de moi. Donc effectivement, c'était l'endroit et le moment où j'ai perdu tous mes étudiants. Parce qu'ils ont tous couru aussi dans le sens où les autres couraient. Et j'ai eu le réflexe de prendre mes enfants, de faire un mur, un dos comme ça, rond, et je les laissais passer à côté de moi, au-dessus de moi, les autres, etc. Bon, bref. J'ai eu cette expérience. Parmi les étudiants, pour être un peu bref là-dessus, on est resté jusqu'à, je crois, 4h30 du matin pour pouvoir avoir des nouvelles de nos étudiants qui sont finalement tous heureux, en sain et sauf, arrivés chez eux malgré les problèmes qu'il y a eu pour traverser Paris. Personnellement, je ne l'ai pas eu. Je n'ai pas pris le RER parce qu'il y avait un monde fou et j'ai dit je ne mets pas en danger mes enfants. J'ai fait 2 autostops, j'ai fait 2 bus stops. Finalement, je suis arrivé à bon port. Bon, bref, jusqu'à 4h30 du matin, on appelait nos étudiants pour savoir où ils étaient. Là-dessus, il faut dire, comme tu as dit, justement, donc le meilleur vecteur va être la réaction qu'il va y avoir de la part de ces étudiants envers les étudiants qui vont venir. Il ne faut pas oublier qu'ils se connectent tous, ils sont tous sur Facebook, aussi bien les anciens que les nouveaux, ceux qui viennent pour avoir soit des bons plans, soit des idées, soit je ne sais pas qu'est-ce qui se passe, etc. Nous avons 85 étudiants actuellement à Paris. Parmi les 40 que j'avais au stade, il y a, je crois, quelques-uns qui partent directement, qui sont partis. Mais la majeure partie de ces étudiants qui étaient au stade restent à Paris. Et ça, c'est une bonne communication. Donc, bien sûr, vous avez posé la question tout à l'heure, qu'est-ce qu'on dit à nos étudiants quand ils sont là? Qu'est-ce que vous voulez leur dire? Vous ne pouvez pas garantir qu'ils vont être sains et saufs. La seule chose que vous pouvez garantir, c'est ce que je dis à nos étudiants, nous sommes plusieurs millions de personnes à Paris et banlieue parisienne. Nous sommes là. Mes enfants vont tout seuls à l'école. Nous sommes là. S'ils ont besoin de nous, on est là.
Nous ne pouvons pas rentrer à la maison.
Mais eux, ils sont libres d'avoir et de prendre la décision qu'ils veulent. À partir de là, c'est leur décision. La pression des parents, comme on en a parlé tout à l'heure, est énorme de la part des parents aux États-Unis. Et c'est ça, finalement, qui
envenime quelque part la situation en France. Donc, contacter directement les parents, c'est la dernière des choses que nous faisons. D'ailleurs, ça a été interdit, strictement interdit par notre structure, et à juste titre, parce que c'est centralisé chez nous. Donc, ils ont les mêmes réponses à tous les parents. Il y a des parents qui disent, j'ai croisé un email là-dessus, je veux que ma fille parte maintenant, je veux qu'elle soit remboursée, et je veux qu'elle ait ses crédits. Bingo.
Mais Gabriel, ton témoignage, en fait, soutient un peu ce qui a été dit tout à l'heure, c'est-à-dire que plus on est au cœur de l'action, plus on est au cœur de ce qui s'est vraiment passé, et moins on a peur. Et le problème, c'est que nous allons devoir communiquer avec des gens qui n'étaient pas là, qui sont, puisqu'ils sont encore aux États-Unis, justement pas là du tout, et que là, voilà, on va être en communication avec des gens qui sont le plus angoissés, le plus désinformés, qui ont le moins d'expérience et qui sont le plus angoissés.
Justement, c'est les étudiants qui n'étaient pas à Paris qui ont plus peur.
Voilà. Oui, c'est ça.
Bah oui.
Qui ont plus peur.
Donc, comment on va faire ? C'est-à-dire que là, justement, on est obligé de communiquer avec des gens qui ont une peur extrêmement propre et que bah, la définition de la peur, c'est qu'elle n'est pas rationnelle. Et que donc, on va pouvoir leur donner des arguments en leur disant « Voilà ce que nous, nos programmes ont organisé. Voilà la situation géopolitique et gouvernementale et administrative. » On va pouvoir donner un certain nombre d'arguments objectifs, sauf qu'il y aura la limite après de la peur de la peur de l'autre. Donc on peut s'entendre sur comment est-ce qu'on peut encadrer au maximum, quels sont les arguments que nous on peut donner justement en tant qu'APOIF pour dire ce que chacun de nous nous avons fait, ce que nous avons décidé de faire pour le semestre prochain, et comment est-ce que l'environnement géopolitique nous aide à assurer la sécurité de nos étudiants et de nos prochains étudiants. Mais après, il y a un moment où... Voilà, comment essayer de réduire au maximum une peur irraisonnée de quelqu'un qui n'a aucune expérience de ce qui se passe ici. Je pense qu'on peut en discuter, mais il n'y a pas grand-chose qu'on va pouvoir faire non plus là-dessus. Quoi.
Je dis encore une fois, ça va être le vecteur des étudiants actuellement qui vivent la situation ici, qui eux vont communiquer positivement ou négativement.
Mais leur faire quoi ? Leur faire des vidéos,
non,
par exemple ?
Non, On les espère entre eux, Facebook, Instagram, ils le font déjà entre eux, ils ont Facebook, ils ont les téléphones, ils ont un réseau. Même à l'université ici, ils en parlent.
Ils sont très sollicités par la presse américaine.
Pardon ?
Très sollicités par la presse américaine.
Exactement.
Que ce soit le journal de la fac ou le journal de leur hometown.
Les Françaises, les notes sont passées sur téléphone.
Bien.
Je ne voulais pas le dire.
Mais c'est vrai que ils sont très sollicités. Jusqu'au présent, je vois ce qu'ils ont décrit comme notre réponse à la communication, la stratégie de communication, etc. Très positive. Donc j'espère que ça rassure quelque part. Mais tout ça, ça nous échisse pas.
C'est positif et négatif.
C'est un élément.
Je pense que plus le temps passera, c'est-à-dire là on était sous l'effet des événements qui sont très récents, mais plus le temps passera, c'est-à-dire il faut attendre quand même une semaine ou 10 jours ou 15 jours, c'est certain que ça va s'atténuer. Mais bien sûr, s'il n'y a pas d'autres soucis,
unless something else happens,
très peu probable. Je crois qu'aussi l'ampleur de l'événement doit beaucoup à Charlie Hebdo, c'est-à-dire qu'il y a quand même aussi un effet d'amplification par répétition qui fait que sans Charlie Hebdo en janvier, la situation aujourd'hui ne serait pas aussi intense qu'elle l'est, où que ce soit d'ailleurs, hein, à Paris ou aux États-Unis. Donc on peut quand même, dans une déclaration à construire, pointer du doigt tous les mécanismes amplificateurs de la peur, en disant attention, il y a des faits, il y a une situation qui est sous contrôle, et ensuite des facteurs d'amplification de la peur, que ce soit certains médias, que ce soit la distance, l'éloignement, la désinformation et le contexte général.
Presque en deux chapitres.
Oui,
risque et peur.
Risque et peur, c'est ça, c'est distinguer les risques et la peur. Est-ce que, parce que je ne sais pas combien de temps on a prévu. Oui.
Juste pour signer, juste anecdotiquement, deux secondes, votre idée que l'importance, le rôle potentiel que peut jouer à quoi, j'ai été contacté hier par une risk manager d'une banque d'université.
Mais c'était une question qu'on voulait poser.
Très connue dans le milieu, elle m'a demandé, c'est quoi le nom de cet organisme ? Elle cherchait à quoi ? À quoi ? Donc elle était au fond. Donc voilà, il y a un potentiel pour une voix qui peut se faire entendre.
Oui, c'est ça. Est-ce que sur vos campus, vous avez, enfin, alors évidemment, ça dépend de la taille, mais des personnes dédiées au risk management qui peuvent être des recours aussi, des ressources.
Interestingly, about 3 weeks ago, we had the AXA annual management meeting that I hosted here in Paris, and we had a person from UC who was our biggest partner, not only in France, but everywhere, risk manager come, and we spent a half a day working with him and learned some really great stuff. And one of the case scenarios we worked on was basically exactly what happened Friday morning. It was uncanny. Wasn't it, Kate? We were like, we just talked about this, and here we were 3 weeks later.
But you're part of a big structure.
Yeah.
This is completely away from risk and assessing that and that kind of thing. But just as far as, I just noticed personally that a number of people I know who are sort of tour guides in Paris and things, independent ones, have put on their websites and things, just they do that sort of periscope thing that I've only just found out about, everyone else seems to know about it for ages, but they basically putting up videos of sort of walking around Paris, you know, that they do often, but they're putting up more, you know, the walk over the bridge tonight, the sunset, that sort of thing, just making things seem, you know, looking at the things that are just continuing, that are beautiful, without necessarily saying, by the way, look, Paris is fine, or look, things are really nice, but I'm just wondering about ideas for people's Facebook pages and stuff, you know, without saying this is to make you feel better about coming, just, you know, we've started putting up videos of Paris and the Christmas lights when they go up, or that kind of thing, you know, just a 2-minute video that people will see, just as you put up photos of the Christmas markets, that kind of thing, that's a way of just quietly letting people see what is actually going on, people who are going to be coming in January, and their parents as well. That the streets aren't sort of full of people screaming and shooting at each other, or you know that normal life is also carrying on, and that people can be, you know, safe.
Mais c'est vrai que d'avoir un atelier ou une journée sur ces questions-là et d'inviter un professionnel, ça pourrait être utile. Et c'est vrai que Julie Friend Northwestern est une autorité dans ce domaine. Elle intervient énormément à Forum sur les questions de sécurité, donc elle pourrait, si elle l'acceptait.
Donc, est-ce que vous comptez publier un communiqué de la part de l'association ?
Oui, alors on mettra en ligne un compte-rendu de la réunion aujourd'hui. Enfin, pas aujourd'hui, mais dans les jours qui viennent.
Can we do dans l'heure qui vient. So we can share it with partners at home.
Sure. So I put it in French and someone, or Franglish, and you will edit it. But the idea is that we have a sort of declaration from the organization. Of course, we need to agree on that. So maybe we could share a few ideas and, you know, do's and don'ts, and that way the CA could build something up. And then, I don't know, should we vote on that or just agree that if the CA agrees, it should be the voice of the APUAF after this meeting?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We voted for you, we trust you.
Okay, thank you.
Can you say that into the microphone, please?
That would be the voice of the APUAF. That would be the basis of the letter we send to the next year.
No, we would publish it on the website.
Yeah, on the website.
So, and then you do whatever you want with it.
Yeah. Oh, it should just be a statement by APUAF, a constat de la situation.
Yeah. I think we need to do it quickly.
So,
if you want other people to read a draft, I'd be very happy to. If not, not to kind of object or critique, but just if you feel that that's something that you need.
Yeah, well, thank you. We'll see how we work this out. And
Gabriel?
Yes. We could try, sure.
On est là avec des étudiants américains, donc on parle tous de la sécurité, de ce que nous faisons avec nos étudiants, comment on communique avec. Donc le communiqué de la POAS qui va être de toute façon assez solide.
What do we think for that? Like a letter to the editor of the New York Times or something?
Donc de les laisser aller voir nos étudiants et monter les histoires.
What do you suggest though? How would we go about that?
En fait, risque, sécurité, peur, quelque chose qui adresse tous ces points-là.
On est là, on représente quand même les étudiants américains en France. Je pense qu'on a une
autre parole. But what about a journalist who actually wants to do a sujet?
We can contact the press agency and see how they react. Sure.
How many students do we represent?
Yeah, that was my question. Do we really represent the American students in France? Because How many?
How many do we represent?
Yeah, so there is 50.
Who's the column? Adam, this is
50. No, but, no,
yeah, but that's
not
all
the members
are here.
Out here, so.
No,
but you have the number. No,
but oui, mais ça, c'est pas toute l'année, ça. Ça, c'est que ce semestre.
We have a lot of students in here, like 6,000.
6,000,
yeah.
Well, that's.
In Paris?
No.
In France.
But that was in 2008, so.
Mm-hmm.
But not all programs want to tell us how many students they have, so that.
6,000 students.
They're using
in 2008.
The
They're
the ones
for the
lot.
You can always say more than
very
little. But maybe you don't need to give a number, but if we send out something to the press, they will ask for numbers. So somebody will be contacted.
Our treasurer.
How about just the
number of programs represented,
right.
Yeah. Rather than the actual head count.
Yeah.
The 54 members or whatever we are.
Yeah, 54. 54
members of ACWA.
Right, I think that's a good number to have, and it doesn't have to be the totality to be a significant number in the eyes of the press.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, the press will want big names.
So they'd
be happy to know we exist, but they will want to know which university are members, you know. So we can.
Right.
From 5 to 200 students. So,
right.
Yeah.
It's just the 54 members. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how do we go about this? Do we contact the Paris office of the International New York Times? Do we write a letter to the editor? How do you guys see this happening?
Send it off to all of them?
We actually have strong connections with the writers. So we could just.
What about going through the U.S. Embassy?
No. I don't know.
Mm. I mean, you can send a press release to the office, the main office of every paper.
Yeah.
The press release, various press releases every day. Then they pick up which ones they want to consider.
Right.
Mm. So I just have a question about that. What would be the objective of appearing in a U.S. paper?
Saying, I guess, that programs in life is going on and
mm-hmm.
that we're no programs are closing and that
yes.
it's basically PR so that people don't start canceling.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. I don't know what Melissa, I don't know what anybody else thinks.
We're on top of the situation.
Right.
We're not victims of the situation.
Hearing far from the field, yeah.
Yeah, hearing from the people.
Very basic. I mean, when I read what they're saying about what's happening, they're not saying anything. So we say two or three things. We're saying a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You read what's going on, and you're like, "That's news."
Yeah, but two of the top headlines CNN this afternoon on French.
A
one
dog
was
shot.
Watch a video of a gunman's gun as it jams, really pointing at the woman's head. That's really good. And the second one was police dog dies. In
oh, that's a big headline. The police
Diesel.
Dog. Diesel. It's a big one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Diesel the
dog. Okay.
But I imagine we want that fairly quickly. Because
Sure, so let's agree on some, you know, structure. Let's frame it, and then we can work this out very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Sylvie?
Excusez-moi, je reviens sur ce semestre. S'il y a une politique commune de, je sais pas, il reste plus tellement d'activités.
No. Yeah, but not travel, but like activities like concerts or cooking classes.
Nous sommes allés mardi soir. Donc lundi, je leur ai demandé si ils étaient d'accord pour faire la sortie de mardi soir. Ils ont un peu discuté entre eux, finalement ils ont dit qu'ils étaient d'accord. Et donc mardi, on est allé voir Résiste. Voilà. C'est vrai que ça les a un peu encouragés, le fait qu'ils aient ce truc-là. C'est là que TF1 justement nous a chopés à l'entrée pour nous demander pourquoi on était venu voir Résiste ce soir-là, si ça avait un sens. Et en fait, ça s'est transformé en deux heures de karaoké où ils étaient debout sur les sièges en train de chanter toutes les chansons qu'ils ne connaissaient pas, de danser comme les danseurs. Et ça a fait un bien fou, parce qu'ils ont vu que justement, tout le monde vivait, tout le monde chantait, que tout le monde résistait ensemble. Et en fait, ça a été extrêmement thérapeutique. Extrêmement thérapeutique.
Donc, je propose un peu pour structurer la déclaration qu'on fasse peut-être un préliminaire sur la situation. En effet, ça peut être bien de donner quelques informations sur ce qui s'est passé à Paris et quelle est la situation actuelle. Évidemment, ce serait une déclaration datée, on est d'accord. Expliquer ensuite quelle est la position. Alors, la position commune, c'est pas évident à avoir, mais... sur quoi pourrait-on être d'accord par rapport à la gestion des programmes ? C'est-à-dire, un, qu'on ne ferme pas.
Qu'on est accessible jour et nuit.
Voilà, oui. On ne va pas peut-être rentrer dans les détails de si un étudiant s'en va, qu'est-ce qui se passe, etc. Mais disons qu'on peut dire qu'il y a une espèce de vigilance et de suivi au cas par cas de chacun de nos étudiants.
Communicating with the students. Continually, that sort of stuff.
Mais, et puis, je pense qu'on peut dire aussi que nous communiquons entre nous. Donc,
oui.
Nous, ça, toutes ces personnes qui sont sur le terrain, on a une bonne communication. Donc, l'information se partage.
On va avoir 50 nouveaux membres pour la... Oui, voilà, qu'on surveille la situation, les recommandations des autorités françaises et américaines.
Après les premières lignes, ça va venir tout seul.
On n'a pas encore parlé du rectorat, mais les rectorats partout en France suivent la même procédure cette semaine.
Yeah.
C'est-à-dire que tout est en session, toute classe est en cours. Mais il n'y a aucune sortie scolaire.
Au voyage.
Au voyage.
Pour les secondaires.
Les enfants.
Pour les
secondaires.
Mais pas pour les
universitaires. Pas pour les universitaires.
Bah, Paris 3, Sciences Po, ils ont annulé un petit événement ou animation cette semaine.
Ouais. Mais est-ce que ça n'est pas considéré comme rassemblement c'est plus sur le coup de la... Ouais, de la...
Donc, de toute manière, ce que je voulais dire, c'est que ce serait intéressant aussi de citer le school board français qui est national, c'est quand même très rassurant par rapport au school board américain, et que nous suivons les consignes.
Notre programme n'a pas suivi ces consignes.
Ah.
On est allé au Bobo faire une visite parce que c'était visé plutôt au lycée et au collège. C'était pas pour les établissements d'enseignement supérieur. Donc je ne sais pas c'est comment tout le monde a
On a suivi les conseils parce qu'il n'y avait pas de consignes contre.
Contre, oui,
il n'y avait pas de consignes contre. Ça, je suis. Et en fait, on a regardé pour être sûr qu'il n'y avait pas de consignes. En fait, il y avait un communiqué de Najat Belkacem il y a 3-4 jours qui a dit on va rouvrir les portes des universités et etc etc. Donc on est d'accord avec ces
consignes. Donc les sorties maintenues, les sorties musées, tout ça. Et,
oui.
Non, on a annulé dimanche la sortie.
Parce que les consignes étaient de rester à la maison si possible.
Qui
va au travail, il n'y a aucune raison pour laquelle notre programme devrait dire non, vous ne devez pas prendre le métro, non, vous devez.
Les trajets
comme
de l'université à l'école,
au gymnase
et aux piscines, sont maintenus.
C'est
voyage scolaire.
Non, les piscines, c'est pas. S'il n'y a pas. S'il
n'y a
pas
de transport.
Des étudiants qui m'ont dit aujourd'hui qu'ils étaient ravis de voir autant de monde dans le métro.
Oui, dans la rue. C'est vrai que c'est un phénomène très européen, parisien aussi, d'être
dans... Il y a des gens fous, il paraît, dans les transports en chemin, etc.
dimanche, il y avait du monde.
Oui, dimanche, il y avait du monde.
Mais il faisait beau aussi.
Ouais.
La vigilance, le monitoring et le respect des recommandations des autorités politiques, académiques et même des infrastructures. Donc ça, ce serait la partie plutôt à développer d'évaluation de la situation et des risques. Conclusion, les programmes ne ferment pas, en accord aussi avec les universités partenaires. Est-ce qu'on fait aussi une partie sur évaluation de la peur et donc comment on intervient par rapport à ça? Est-ce que ce ne serait pas une bonne chose?
Ça peut être introduction au risque.
Mais non, parce que justement, je pense qu'on a intérêt à dissocier les deux.
Ah oui, d'accord, mais
donc moi, je mettrais la peur après les risques en disant que...
Peut-être il faut la peur avant les risques.
La psychologique est mise en place, nous suivons la...
En transition vers, comment dire,
support.
Oui, c'est une bonne remarque, bien sûr, de dire que la vigilance passe aussi par le suivi au cas par cas des étudiants, l'encadrement, le conseil, etc.
L'espace de discussion, c'est pour les étudiants qui sont à l'heure actuelle.
Oui, c'est ça.
Pour les
c'est
étudiants
ça.
Qui viennent.
Et c'est exactement pour ça, je pense qu'il faut, il faut aussi un développement sur la peur la plus irrationnelle et la plus exagérée, et comme on a discuté
c'est
avant,
distance,
quels sont les canaux qui créent ces peurs qui ne sont pas infondés, dont les raisons sont identifiées et respectables, mais simplement amplifiées et exagérées, et du coup, peut-être contre...
Mais on est quelle autorité pour dire comment les parents peuvent dire ils minimisent à ce moment-là? Ils savent tout, ils disent ça parce qu'ils ne veulent pas perdre leurs étudiants.
Donc on ne peut rien garantir.
Bien sûr, mais je pense que si on se pose trop comme l'autorité qui sait ce que c'est la peur et que c'est pas du tout rationnel...
Est-ce qu'on peut faire part d'une...
D'une
impression, d'un sentiment, en disant il nous semble que dans le contexte actuel, on peut le mettre sous la forme d'une question. On a pu observer des effets de résonance.
Qui est précisément le public ciblé par la déclaration? Parce que ça a un impact sur comment structurer même ce qu'on dit.
Je pense qu'on a intérêt à le faire dans les deux langues, donc la structuration sera différente.
Pour qui?
Au niveau français, je pense que c'est bien qu'il y ait une voix, en effet, de la PUAF par rapport au, même dans le paysage académique, que nos partenaires français voient qu'on a une voix à donner. Et puis par rapport aux États-Unis, si jamais le discours est repris.
Donc c'est
les universités.
Analyse de la situation, de point de vue de la PUAF, à tout faire utile.
Je pense qu'on veut surtout
envoyer
des messages
à nos universités. Ça aide dans la rédaction.
Je pense que surtout nos universités pour les prochains étudiants.
Le premier jet, c'était pour les étudiants ici. Et après, il faut diversifier un peu pour les étudiants qui vont venir.
Nos étudiants ici, est-ce que vraiment la vie de la poids les intéresse?
Non, mais ce qui les intéresse, c'est de voir qu'il y a
un network.
Voilà, exactement. Ça, c'est.
Oui, bien sûr, tu es d'accord. Je l'ai dit aux étudiants et aux parents. Est-ce que vous connaissez la citation de Fulbright?
Oui.
Oui. Non, du sénateur Fulbright. Moi, je l'ai envoyé à plusieurs personnes parce que je trouve qu'elle résume exactement ce que nous représentons. Et le but de notre travail. Alors je vais vous la faire parvenir parce que voilà.
Mais tu peux nous la lire.
Parce que j'ai un très mauvais anglais.
Ah ben ton voisin va se faire un plaisir.
International educational exchange is the most significant current project designed to continue the process of humanizing mankind to the point we would hope that men can learn to live in peace. Eventually even to cooperate in constructive activities rather than compete in a mindless contest of mutual destruction. We must try to expand the boundaries of human wisdom, empathy, and perception, and there is no way of doing that except through education. Dans le cadre de cette déclaration, analyse générale, on a touché plusieurs moments sur aussi, de, bon, juste pour le côté positif, sur, différentes manières de dire, mais la vie dans la rue, le fait que Paris continue, je crois que petit à petit positif sur Paris, et, mais d'une manière réaliste, c'est-à-dire moi j'entends pas mal de commentaires, je reçois des emails, des amis, et des anciens de toutes sortes de monde, des célébrés là-bas, etc., qui disent, ah, c'est dommage parce que Paris est tellement beau, et bon, toutes ces sortes de nostalgie pour... et ça, c'est bien, évidemment, sans attaquer fortement cette approche, mais juste dire les choses qui vont dans un autre sens, que oui, Paris est magnifique, mais pas parce que juste la beauté des grands monuments et du patrimoine, mais parce que justement, c'est une société qui résiste, il y a la vie, et c'est pour ça que Paris est attaqué. Mais et Paris est attaqué pour les vertus. Et de faire tout l'état de ça.
Ils le savent, c'est justement
des
gens de la ville.
C'est pour ça que Paris est attaqué, Paris ne sera encore attaqué.
Oui, c'est ça.
Est-ce que les autres pays, y inclus les États-Unis, ne sont pas sous la même menace que nous? Alors donc,
oui, on ne peut pas le dire.
Washington vient d'émuler, paraît-il.
New York
résiste aussi.
Mais je pense qu'il est peut-être important de dire que nous avions des mesures de sécurité, tous. Nous étions prêts parce que nous savons que le favori faisait partie des risques. Donc nous étions prêts. Ça a fonctionné exactement. Et que ce que nous faisons continue à fonctionner. Nous n'avons pas eu de peur.
Est-ce que, à part l'étudiant de Californie, on a d'autres victimes au sein des étudiants abroad?
If there were any other students lost besides the Cal State girl, not to my knowledge, no.
Not lost, not injured.
No. Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Est-ce que vous avez donc en suivant ce scénario, est-ce que vous avez d'autres choses que vous aimeriez voir figurer dans cette dé... Ça ne doit pas être long, hein, parce qu'il faut que ce soit repris par des journalistes.
Vous allez avoir des questions.
Oui, après, il faudra voir s'il y a une déclaration un peu par Lorraine dans ces cas-là qui est plus légitime pour représenter la PUAF. Comment voulez-vous qu'on opère? Est-ce que vous faites vraiment confiance au CA ou vous préférez qu'on le publie sur la liste serve avant et que...
Non, non,
ça
non.
Jamais
vous en sortez.
Okay.
Parce que si... Ouais,
okay.
Avec ça, il y a des
opinions. Different opinions.
Okay.
That'd be great.
Donc, je propose de faire un premier jeu en français.
Oui.
Et puis on travaille dessus.
Ouais.
Okay.
On peut faire la traduction.
Ouais.
Est-ce que vous avez des choses à ajouter par rapport à ça? Alexandra, comme tu étais très active sur les questions de sécurité, est-ce qu'on pense à un atelier un peu exceptionnel pour reprendre un peu tout ça? Est-ce qu'il y a des volontaires? Ozak?
If OSAC can come.
Are we talking about for Angers or is that too far away?
I think that's too far away.
What month are we? November.
We're November. Angers is in March.
I think that there's maybe a misconception of what OSAC can do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because OSAC does not exist as this entity of people who know what to do. They exist as a group of people who coordinate what everyone else is doing. So OSAC coming is just going to be a promotion of what OSAC can do to coordinate the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
What we would need is maybe an OSAC member, but somebody who specializes in security who can talk about crisis management and all of that. Or we could sort of do it ourselves and just decide what are the things we want to work on. you know, what does your emergency pack look like, and how can you put together a good one? What kind of messaging, and maybe it would be helpful to look at vocabulary. Some people might be functioning in English as a second language, and looking at the kind of vocabulary that you use to describe certain things. There may be other things that internally we already know how to do and just want to share. But having OSAC would just be a stumbling block, I think.
And the majority of the American industries that participate in OSAC, though, they all have security teams. And they have a
risk management team.
And they don't seem to understand that we don't have, you know, a security who's got a team of I don't know how many people with a budget. And
But we could invite somebody, a trusted one, a nice one, to come and be with us for the day.
The McDonald's guy is super nice.
Jacques
Levester.
Well, he brings snacks.
He's good.
And so is the Starbucks guy.
Disney guy is nice. You can't pin him down.
He's not... He's sort of up here.
He lives on a football.
Would they do it for free, or we have to pay them?
But when would we?
Would we pay them?
I don't know.
Timing is an issue.
Would they actually be
if you want to do it for
March? Timing is an issue.
We have the date blocked for the LGBT thing in February, which, I mean, in light of the events, people said they were available. We were already going to do it anyway. It's February the 5th.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. Bye, John.
I mean, we could.
Bye, John.
I don't know. I think
it could be a part, just a part of
February feels far away to me.
I think we're going to do a half day anyway, but
it wasn't half day.
February is far.
Yeah,
is that what you're saying?
I feel like February is far away.
But what sort of things are you
looking at?
We should
at December.
What kind of things would you like to be doing during the activity?
We can just put that up on the list. What we would like. What we like help with. To see how soon we would like to have it. I mean, December would be fine, but it's
tomorrow.
That's tomorrow.
Yeah, I know it is.
Yeah.
I know.
Anyway, preparing a security pack for our students in January makes sense for us to do something now.
Maybe it could be the toolbox. Maybe we could all contribute to that without having to...
Not having the logistics of organizing a day or a workshop.
But maybe build up, anyone who would agree
to share content and tools, and then we could build something out of that.
We need to meet.
Should we have a committee?
I don't know. I'm not sure all of it is document centered. You know, some of it is. People would have to actually create the document. Sort of, well, I know what my plan is, but I don't have one document that describes it that I can just upload.
Well, no, we managed to have this one in 3 days. So no, but it's Paris. If we want
people
our
from
colleagues,
other places to come.
How do you feel? Here. Oh, there is just Laurie, actually.
Yeah, I'm the only one left.
Oh,
Etienne
Bon.
Oh, okay.
Hi.
So how do I feel about having a meeting in Paris? I think the center of what's going on right now is really Paris. So, I mean, I'm comfortable with, you know, the people that are most touched by what's happening right now. I mean, we're touched by it, too, but in a much lesser extent. So I think it makes perfect sense for something on security to be happening there right now because you're in the heart of what's, you know, the aftermath of all this. And if we can Skype into something, you know, if people can Skype in like we did tonight, that's great. For me, it makes sense for something on security to be happening in Paris.
Sure, I agree.
Oh, okay.
Good.
Good.
Okay.
So then, so we'll get back to you to get something before Christmas?
Yeah,
or?
Deuxième semaine de décembre. Avant le 15 décembre.
Ouf, he's got time for that.
Yeah.
You can also send other people on your staff.
Yeah.
It doesn't always have to be.
Yeah, we can open to any staff from members of the organization.
I think what's important to establish is what we want to do. Is it a workshop to better understand the geopolitical situation? Is it a workshop to gain skills? Is it a workshop to gain?
I would say it has to be very practical to get, you know.
I feel like at the moment we're a little too in it.
Yeah.
we're only in, what, day five of all of this, and we've got a lot of work to do before any of us sit down and start writing proposals and ideas and documents and stuff. Maybe we should think about it and digest as the days go over and reach out to everybody maybe sometime next week.
Next week, yeah.
And are people still feeling like we need to get together? It could be as informal as tonight. It doesn't have to be an expert coming in. For me, this is very useful.
Could be done later, yeah.
What I would envision being at least, I don't think I have to keep screaming maybe, but what I would envision being at least helpful for me after, you know, even with all of the training and that we all have, is to have sort of like almost a little booklet that has sections. You know, first thing you do, second thing you do, contacting students, outreach to universities, when do you start, you know, and then a little box for counseling set up and decisions to cancel class or keep class. And then we sort of go through it step by step and we decide what our plan is. We sort of fill it in. Mm-hmm. So you're almost creating a timeline.
A template, yeah.
That is your own template, but each person fills it in differently. We just talk about each section as, well, these are the things we have to think about. Oh, I didn't think about that. But then each of us is going to have, we can't have one toolkit. We each have a different way of functioning.
No, depending on the number of students.
Well, we can help people out with, if we already have certain things.
And also maybe,
you're talking crisis management, we're talking, what do we give to our students, right?
Right.
You want to know what to give to students.
Well, both.
Or how to
say
talk
or
about
to
it's completely different
from crisis management.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if we want to say what to say to students, then I think it's these people who are coming into our centers and doing these workshops, the counseling workshops, those are the people who know what to say to students in terms of how to manage their own fears and contextualize their doubts. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it seems, you know, you all have had
the workshop that we had with
tomorrow.
The psychologist specialized in crisis. It was just so phenomenal that, I mean, it would be wonderful if we could have him in a document with some of these things that she was talking about, because it was really, 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 maybe we could have someone, because this is a person, I think, to put that together, we'd have to pay her something.
Well, as we know from our last meeting, we've got plenty of money.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
So we have to pay somebody to come in and help
us. Was absolutely phenomenal.
Which I would be interested in having somebody like that come in.
Be willing
maybe that's what we should
together.
Do in December.
Well, that would be
exactly.
A wonderful way to use some of our money, I agree.
Yeah, you know, we've got a lot of money in the bank.
Now.
We can use that as a first step for us, for support, for ideas, because I don't know about you guys, but I'm scared.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's coming next, and I'm looking at everybody sideways, and everybody's looking to me to take care of them, and I'm not really taking care of myself yet. And I talked to a lot of you tonight, and you all have said the same thing to me.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we need somebody to talk to us about how we manage all of this before we manage it for the students.
I know someone.
She was like that the other day with the staff.
So maybe she'd be a person who would come in for an evening like this. We do a 6 to 8 thing.
She did 3 sessions this week. She was at Sweetbriar. She was with us. She was referred to us by David Friess because he wasn't back yet. He's doing another one tomorrow. But he said, I am not half as much in the crisis. The idea of crises and
could you maybe have a word with her and see if she'd be willing to talk to us as professionals?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what we could do in the first couple
that
weeks of
great.
December. An evening like this,
yeah.
We have coffee, we can do it here at Accent, not
alcohol.
A problem. Okay, or we can vote on that. Alcohol.
You have leftovers.
Yeah, I'll just wrap this up.
My coping skills, my counselor said to lay off the caffeine and the alcohol.
Yeah, that's
bad advice.
No way.
Maybe I should
I'd like the evening format. That is so much easier to
we can't really leave our offices during the day, right? No. And
during the day, she's very busy with.
Okay, so maybe something.
But tonight, I think she's
well, I can certainly host you here at Accent just like this. That's easy.
I can open our place too. That's
okay.
Fine.
Is your room bigger than this?
No. We can use 45.
Here we can go.
Yeah, we could probably bring staff. That would be great.
I think my staff needs some help too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really.
So. Around the 10th, more or less, 5 to 10th of December?
Yeah.
Well, now that I'm not going to Leon Lumiere,
Well,
come on,
Laurie,
turn on the lights on.
But do you think that it would be good to have something that we could share it with, that all our staff could attend, like, sooner than then? Like, if she would do a session because she worked with us a little bit, just because I was, like, falling apart when she got there.
Yeah.
It was just... the staff really benefited from it with the students, but if a lot of your staff hasn't had that,
yeah.
She would do like an evening session for people who are in
charge. Does she speak French and English?
Yeah.
Which is
her mother's French, but she's American.
Yeah.
So she's perfect bilingual.
I don't know how her French is. Sharon Corman?
No, she's great.
She's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah, okay.
So, I mean, I think it'd be good for staff. My own feeling is seeing my staff. I think they could use some help.
But the meeting would have two purposes. Like, one, so how do we deal with the situation? And second, how
do
we help
yeah.
the students
Absolutely.
With the situation?
I think so.
Absolutely.
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
And we would do it with our staff, right? Where we have one thing with everybody,
yeah.
and whoever on your staff wants to join would come.
But do you have a lot of people with French staff, and it wouldn't have to be in French?
No.
No,
no.
people
no.
are bilingual.
It could be in
English. So, would everybody be okay with that, with staff coming to the, whoever wanted to come?
And how many
yeah.
people would that represent?
I think we'd have to get a head count,
we'd
and then we could decide who could host
it.
I don't know who has the biggest room.
Because the important
you can have
thing
80?
About is to be able to discuss.
Exactly.
I mean, we were about 35 of us,
mm-hmm.
maybe not quite, and it was important that people
there
be
were
able
students.
To talk. Yeah, students and staff.
And
yeah.
I'm
it
35,
would be
30.
Interesting also to ask something that would be on top of psychological, also a little bit cultural. She could do it because...
Well,
I mean,
yeah.
I was born in Lebanon,
yeah.
and I went through the Civil War, and I realized that my perspective of what is going on
it's
is
very
totally
different
sure.
from
yeah.
the French people and totally different from the American people.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
so it's like
she
having
talks
a cultural
about
perspective
that a little bit.
Is
she talked about host families and how host families were interacting
mm-hmm.
with students, and it was very interesting.
Host families
because some
were
of the
key
host
this
families,
weekend.
The
so
very
important.
Formal host families were just absolutely so present, and so and then there were certain families that were just kind of like, yeah,
mm-hmm.
well, you know.
And
do you
denial.
Want to talk about it? Do
yeah.
you want to talk
well, because they don't know what to do with them themselves.
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
at a loss themselves,
exactly.
so they're not.
Yeah,
that's
the
why.
Students were surprised that it wasn't all of a sudden this thing like
yeah.
broken up each other.
Right? Same thing for teaching. When
but what's interesting about Sharon is she also approached it from that, you know, how do we function under stress
mm-hmm.
and you know, really helping the students how to take care of yourself and
right.
listen to yourself. Because there are students saying, I'm on the internet all the time
mm-hmm.
and I'm having nightmares, which is something you have to monitor
right.
yourself.
Right.
It was. She was really good. The students were.
Okay, so if you could talk to her,
absolutely.
Find out when she's available, and then we can choose an evening following what her availability is, because she might be very much in demand. It sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Does that work?
Yep.
Okay.
And you're aiming for the week of the
second week of December.
Yeah, but don't you think that your staff needs it earlier than that?
Can we organize it earlier? I don't know.
I'll ask her if she would do it as soon as when. Because
after Thanksgiving, which is the first week of December.
Well, let's say first week of December. Well, it's 10 days, yeah.
Yeah.
You could have that. Yeah, I think early December is fine. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, because I think it prepared us, and me, especially. I mean,
what we can do
in the
what,
days ahead, how are we going to be reacting? What can we do with those reactions?
Mm-hmm.
And why are we reacting the way we're reacting? And I found that en amont, because we did it as a Monday morning, it was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But it
well, let's assume it's past, behind us now. So,
mm-hmm.
so yeah, maybe we can. I'm afraid if we do that next week, it would be.
Next week there's Thanksgiving.
It's
too much of a
stuff.
Yeah, we have a lot of parents coming too. Let's shoot for December, either the first week or the second week of
December.
Suivant ses disponibilités, and we'll go from there.
Can we just avoid the last week before we close?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
That's why early December.
I think we'd
is
have it
fine.
Done.
No,
are you 10 or so.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But so it would be to, what am I asking her for if it's not the idea of how do you handle what's happening right now when you've just been through something? It's more.
Well, we'll still have just been through it in 10
it
days.
It would be that,
okay.
yeah.
You know,
so
we're still going to be.
Okay.
Damage control for
okay.
programs, for work, for
and
ourselves.
Where we're at
students.
At that point, yeah.
I don't think that 2 weeks from now we're all going to feel fine and be.
Right.
I hope, but I don't think so.
I'm personally looking forward to Christmas. I'm sorry, and to be her holiday break.
Yeah. As for the toolbox, would anyone volunteer to be sort of coordinating that? Because we will need someone to, you know.
Who's running the
running a website.
Let's talk amongst the sale
first.
It's very
simple to put
okay.
on
and then
we'll
see.
Check among us.
Yeah.
You can deposit documents, videos,
right.
links right on the
right.
member.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be a trash where you know you put
right.
dozens of documents and at the end it's
no. We need somebody
yeah,
to monitor.
Useless.
So why don't we have a SEO meeting
okay.
next week? Maybe somebody on the SEO
yeah.
could do it, and if not,
okay.
then we'll reach out and see if anybody who's not
okay.
on the SEO would be available to do it. I think it's a lot to ask people right now to take something
sure.
else on.
Mm-hmm. I can do it.
Is that a question or just stretching? You just want to get back on the say-off around three. Yeah, that's right. Anybody else have anything that we didn't talk about or that you want to bring up?
Well, thank you, Melissa. Yeah, thank you very much.
Great to see you guys. Thank you for coming. Please, doggy bags. And some of them are pre-packed.
Ok, merci. Au revoir, à bientôt.
One time I was on a conference call and for 4 hours nobody talked to me. And I started crying.
Yeah.
It's like I'm one of those personalities that can't sit in a corner for 4 hours.
I'm sorry.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, well, I didn't know where are you. I know.
Ça va? Écoute, ouais, je
tu veux m'envoyer un premier jet de temps, enfin, de changer de temps,
ok,
tu prends
ok, tu complètes, très bien. J'essaie de faire ça demain,
je crois que ce soit
pas
complété, mais bien.
Ok, t'as besoin d'un coup de main avec autre chose ou pas?
Je...